Well, I was asking the Lord to speak a little word for us for the new year, and I felt some verses quickened regarding the topic of satisfaction, as I mentioned in the communion time. And if we can turn to Psalm 65 and verse 4 to begin with. Psalm 65 and verse 4 says, "Blessed is the man whom thou choosest to and causes to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple." We'll be satisfied with the goodness of thy house. And then just a few psalms back in Psalm 63, there was another verse I wanted to read. This is in Psalm 63 and verse 5. Psalm 63:5 says, "My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips." And, you know, I was reading these two verses out of these psalms. The phrases really jumped out. "We shall be satisfied. My soul shall be satisfied." You know, it's the idea that God wants us to be satisfied. That's his desire. You know, that's his purpose in wanting to meet with us and wanting to visit us and speak to us. It's that we would be satisfied in him. And even more specifically, I was just quickened with this thought that even this year, God wants us to enter in to a new level of satisfaction. And the definition, just so we understand, we're all on the same page for satisfaction, really, satisfaction. It really means the fulfillment of one's wishes, expectations, or needs, and the pleasure that's derived from that. All right, so we have desires, or we have wishes, we have needs in our life, and we're satisfied when those things are fulfilled. And it brings us pleasure. You know, and satisfaction is a wonderful thing. It's wonderful when you feel fulfilled because you've received what you've been asking for or seeking for or looking for. And you can relate this to a lot of areas in our life, right? I mean, we've all experienced satisfaction in one way or another because we've obtained something that we've looked for. You know, maybe you've been starving and you've been saving yourself for that meal, right? Maybe Thanksgiving meal or something, or, you know, Christmas meal. So you skip lunch because you want that dinner is going to be good. But maybe you're more starving than you thought. But then you eat that meal, and, oh, you're satisfied. That was good. Maybe you're a little oversatisfied, right? And your stomach is complaining because there's too much in there. But you know, that thought of satisfaction, you know, you've been fulfilled. Or maybe there's something you've wanted to do for a long time, something on your bucket list, right? And it's like, man, I've wanted to do that for ages. And you do it. You accomplish it. And you're satisfied. Your expectations are met. Now, another example, I sit in front of my computer all day, you know, for like about 8 hours a day. And there comes a point when I just can't take it anymore. And I've got to do something with my hands. You know, I've got to work on something. I've got to work on some computer stuff or work, you know, build something, and then I'm satisfied. I'm fulfilled for a little bit, and then I'll go back to sit in front of my computer for a long time. You know, but there's that aspect. Sometimes there's that we have needs in our lives, and we're not going to be satisfied unless they're fulfilled. Now, ladies, maybe you can relate to something. Maybe there's a recipe you've always wanted to make, and so you go to the grocery store, you get all the fresh ingredients, you put it together, you know, you prepare it carefully, you cook it at just the right amount of time and temperature and so forth, and when it turns out well and it tastes good, and other people like it, you're satisfied, right? You've done something, it's like, oh, that was nice. I like it when that happens because there's that satisfaction, it's fulfilling in our lives. Now, of course, we've used a lot of natural examples, right? And that helps us to understand what God wants us to do. I mean, all of those natural things are good in that God wants us to feel that in our natural lives. But, you know, there's a satisfaction in the spirit that's even more important. it's more important. There's a satisfaction in our lives that God wants us to have. I remember as a young man, you know, I would make my own choices at times, you know, living at home and in high school and so forth. Some were good, some could have been better. But I remember after I fully committed to following the Lord, I came to Bible school and was just starting to follow Him and learn of Him and walk in His ways. And I remember thinking this as a young man, you know, I feel more fulfilled than I ever did when I was making my own choices and thinking, oh, I want to do this, that'll be fun, or that'll be fun, you know, hanging out with my friends or going goofing off or whatever, was never fulfilling like it was when I committed myself to follow the Lord. And I've always been remarked on that and thought back what my life would have been if I'd chosen my own path. Yeah, maybe I still would have gone to church and stuff, but outside of Sunday, I would have followed my own path. How unfulfilling that would have been. Is that when we, and I'm not saying that you have to go to Bible school and enter the ministry by no means, but that the path that God has for us is the path that is fulfilling. That is the one that we will feel satisfied and complete. We won't have to go looking for something else to fulfill us because God has done that deep within our hearts. You know, in every man and woman, there is a deep need for satisfaction. It's something below the surface. It's something we can't see. We can't really register that. We can't describe it. We can just feel it in our hearts. And sometimes it's so deep that we don't even really, it's not like we feel it. We're driven by it, right? If there's not something that's not fulfilled, then there's a drive in us to fulfill that. Now, of course, the problem comes is when we try to fulfill that outside of the Lord. That's where we run into problems. You know, because that drive has a big effect on our lives when we base our decisions on it. You know, if we try and find satisfaction in ourselves, it's only temporary. And, you know, you think about today, what's different about today than even like for the early church? Today, there are more opportunities and more ways to try and satisfy that inner desire outside of God than in any time in human history. You name it, you can go and do it and try and find satisfaction. And the thing is, you will find a measure, right, for a time, but we all know that you find it and then it drains out and it's gone and you got to go seek it again. And it's a continual cycle that's never fulfilled. You know, we can turn to sports or entertainment or work or hobbies or internet or TV or fill in the blank. I mean, you can just keep going and going. We can keep filling our lives with those things, but we're like it says in the prophets, we're a broken cistern and it keeps draining out so that we continually have to seek more. But God wants to give us a true satisfaction. He wants to increase that. And what's unique about this satisfaction He wants to give us is that it's real. It's real. And that's in the sense that it fulfills the deep need and desire in our heart. It's the real thing. All right? And it lasts for eternity. It doesn't drain away. He just gives us more. He just increases. And it lasts for eternity. We don't have to go elsewhere and look for the things in this world and seek those things. But it's found in Him. But, you know, the question is asked, how do we practically do that? How do we become satisfied in God so that we can achieve that in our lives and have that continually in our hearts? And I wanted to just look at this with the thought of harvest or bearing fruit. You know, we've all maybe planted something at some point, you know, and expecting a harvest. And I think satisfaction is very similar. You know, it's something that is first sown, and then it's cultivated, it's waited upon, it's cared for, it's watched over, and then we reap the fruit of it. And, you know, those are the natural examples. You know, we talked about things we do with our hands. They didn't just pop out of the oven magically, did they? I mean, ladies, when you do a recipe, there's hard work there. You got to get the right ingredients. You kind of slave over getting it all just right, the right proportions, and you watch it in the oven. You make sure it's at the right temperature, and it comes out because of things you've done, hard work. And so there's labor involved in obtaining true satisfaction. And there were three thoughts. You know, I was just kind of asking the Lord, well, Lord, how do we become satisfied? And there were three thoughts I wanted to consider, you know, mostly based on things from the Psalms. Actually, I think they're all from the Psalms. But the first thing is found in Psalm 36 and verse 7. Psalm 36 and verse 7. It says, "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. Thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures." And so the first thing here, you know, we can be abundantly satisfied with the fatness, the fullness of his house, drink from the river of his pleasures. But it's predicated by verse 7. It says, "They will, children of men will put their trust under the shadow of thy wings." And we know, it also says in the Psalms, we put our trust under the shadow of the Almighty. It's like we come under his wings, really speaking of his presence. And so, really, how we can develop satisfaction in our lives is the presence of God and spending time in the presence of God. You know, feeling the presence of God is wonderful. It's really one of the most fulfilling pleasures in life, is to feel his presence and to be in his presence and to hear him speak to us. But, you know, it's also an investment, because we realize, you know, we're not just talking about what we feel, are we? How often do you think we would pray or spend time with God if we felt like it? Because we knew, this is going to feel good. This is going to be awesome. Well, you know, the Lord's gracious when we start out with him. There's a fire there and he meets with us. But I think we've all experienced walking with the Lord that does not always last forever, does it? And we're like, what did I do wrong? Lord, where's the power of your presence that I've been feeling? And it kind of tapers off. But then we have this choice. Are we going to invest our time in coming before him, even when it doesn't feel awesome? But, you know, the Lord is gracious. He meets with us. But yet, really spending time in the presence of the Lord is presenting ourselves, is opening our heart and saying, Lord, would you meet with me? Would you pour into me? Would you speak to me? But then he's gracious and he speaks to us, doesn't he? He quickens us when we're, and when I say presence of God, I mean, that's just coming before him, whether it's in prayer or reading his word or just meditating upon him or even talking about him. When we talk about him with others, it's like we're coming into the presence of God, because he says where two or more are gathered together, I'm in your midst. And so when we're gathered together and we're talking about how good he is and, you know, his promises to us, we're spending time in his presence. You know, it's an investment. It's an investment. It's a practice, but it's one that pays large dividends if we will invest our and sacrifice our time, our energy, our focus. You know, we stop to think about him and his kingdom. We spend time with God in prayer and reading and meditating. Meditating, that to me is the most challenging one, because it's not like, okay, I'm going to take time out. I'm praying. I'm reading. I'm meditating. That doesn't come very natural to us. But there's that thought that, you know, if we want to feed upon the things of God, you know, we've heard the illustration of the cow. He has four stomachs, and that it has to pass through. The food passes through each of those stomachs, right? Each has a different part. And so there's the thought that, you know, God can speak a word to us, and I'm like, awesome word. We write it down. Thanks, Lord. But, you know, we have to think about it and let it come into our spirit. You know, that investment of our time in the kingdom. But listen again to the outcome in verse 8. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness, with the richness of thy house. You know, there can be leanness and there can be fatness, the richness. And God wants us to experience the richness of his house. You shall make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. And so let's purpose Or maybe even as it's New Year's Day, let's resolve. You know, New Year's resolutions are not bad. It's a reminder to bring a fresh resolve. Lord, I'm resolving. I want to enter into something greater this year. Now, of course, we can resolve to do other things, right? You know, whatever that is of what we want to change in our lives for the coming year. But let's resolve. Lord, I want to invest in you and your presence. You know, not that we have to spend 3 hours a day or something like that. You know, we want to do something sustainable and reasonable. But Lord, I want to spend more time. I want to come before you. I want to think about you. I want that richness of your house to be working in my life, because the fruit of that will be satisfaction. It will be satisfying. It will be fulfilling. And so that was the first thing, was the presence of God brings satisfaction. The second thing I wanted to look at was in Psalm 107. And this is the thought of attitudes. Attitudes. Psalm 107 and verse 8. He said, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and he fills the hungry soul with goodness." Now, I realize that this is saying a lot more than just this thought of attitudes here. You know, there's hunger, there's thirst, and so forth. But the thing that was quickened for me was the psalmist was almost lamenting. Oh, that people would praise the Lord. It's like he was looking at people and saying, you know, there needs to be more praise. People need to be rejoicing and having that attitude that the Lord is good and expressing that. Oh, that they would be thankful. Oh, that they would realize that he is our source of satisfaction. When is the last time that you saw someone who was unthankful and happy at the same time? Think about that. Someone who was unthankful and they were happy. I can't think of a single person who has had that combination, right? That they're unthankful, but they're also happy. But how about the opposite? When's the last time you saw someone who was thankful and happy? Well, that's pretty much every time. Because if we're thankful, we are finding something that we can rejoice over and be glad over. And it's like it opens the door for joy, happiness, satisfaction, and fulfillment. And it's the thought of being thankful, but it's the thought of our attitude. And attitude can have a big range, right? It can be our reactions to situations, our response. That our attitude, you know, when our attitude is focused on responding in the right way, on having the right attitude and reaction, it opens the door for him to satisfy the longing soul, because that's where we all are. We're all in that place of, we have longings, we have desires, we have needs that need to be fulfilled. But oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, because he satisfies the longing soul. You know, it's as if that need has to be that, or that predication, that step has to be there of a soul that is rejoicing and praising him, that attitude of being thankful, that attitude of having the right response, because he is the one that satisfies the longing soul. You know, that being happy and thankful go hand in hand. And I think one has the part of creating the other. You know, and being thankful, it usually starts with a decision, doesn't it? Being thankful, I mean, well, yeah, you're thankful when things are going well and you're feeling good. But that we know that is not always the case. Most of the time, it starts with a decision. Well, this didn't exactly work out like I was thinking. But, you know, I know that God can turn this for good. And I'm going to be thankful. Lord, thank you that you can turn this situation for good. I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to thank you for this situation. Doesn't that open the door for joy, for rejoicing, for God to fulfill our need and our desire? Well, this person is not the easiest to get along with. But I think God brought him into my life for a purpose. Lord, thank you for that. You know, brother sandpaper, sister scrub brush, they're working in me. Sarah and I have a joke, you know, usually when someone honks at us or cuts us off in traffic, you know, instead of the usual response of the horn, we say, thank you, Lord, they're working in me. You know, there's that aspect of, we can, you know, we can laugh or we can cry. We can get mad or we can just thank the Lord. And really, when we choose the latter, that's when God can work in us. That's when we can have good fruit in our lives. Now, I'm not saying I always am successful in doing that. The Lord's still working in me. I'm still here on earth. But there's that aspect that when our attitude is right and it's developed by the grace of God, I'm not saying that this is easy or, you know, we just line it all up and it falls into place. But when we allow God to work in us and we're crying out for grace because we've had the wrong attitude again and again, and we've been crying out to God again and again, but eventually he allows us to put that garment of that wrong response off, and he gives us a new garment. And then we can be fulfilled. We can be satisfied. And so that's why it's so important to check our attitudes, to check our responses. You know, someone once said to us, I can't help it if people have trouble with the things I tell them. And basically they were saying, I can't help if they don't like what I'm saying to them. And here's the key, how I'm saying to them. I can't help it. Now, we didn't respond to that person, but in our spirit, we were saying, you most certainly can help it because you can choose to have a right attitude and a right response towards people because it will help them to have an easier time with the things you're saying, even if it's true. Have you ever heard someone say something that's 100% true, but because of how they shared it, you didn't want anything to do with it? It turned you off from the first word. But because of their attitude, their reaction, you know, we want to have the truth, but it's so important how we share it and how we react as believers. And so we want to have right attitudes, thankful attitudes, right reactions, because it will produce precious fruit for others and for ourselves. And we'll find that the desires of our soul become satisfied when we become concerned with how we relate to other people, how we care about other people. Sometimes we don't even realize how wrapped up we can be in our own needs, in our own agenda, until we start looking at other people and realize, you know, they have genuine needs. All right, I'm going to try and help them. I'm going to encourage them and pray for them and be concerned about them and think about their needs, and then, you know, you find our needs become more balanced and God meets with us and he helps us. See, we sow in other people's lives, we reap in our own. And so there's that thought of our attitude is very linked with the thought of satisfaction. If we sow good attitudes towards God and others, we will reap satisfaction. There's one last thought about how we can become satisfied and keep that satisfaction in our life. And that last thought is about vision. There's something about achieving satisfaction. But then if we know that we're walking in a way where we will keep and continually be satisfied, right, it will just increase. But, you know, maybe we can be satisfied for a moment, but if we don't have that knowledge of the way that we should walk to continually be satisfied, then, you know, we'll step off somewhere and we lose it and we say, oh, what happened? What's going on? Why did I lose that joy, that satisfaction in the Lord? Well, it's because we have to have the vision and the, you know, the clarity of focus to know the way that we should go to remain satisfied. It, you know, there's a deep satisfaction in knowing that you're doing the right things. You're practicing the right things in your life. And you know it will make you fruitful. There's a safety in that. David said this in Psalm 17 and verse 15. Psalm 17 and verse 15. This is one of my favorite verses in the Psalms. He says, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I will be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." Now David is stating his ultimate desire. Here's my ultimate satisfaction. It's when I, you know, he was looking far down the road. You know, he was thinking about the moment he closed his eyes, the last time he closed his eyes on this earth, and then opened them in heaven. He would be truly satisfied when he awoke in heaven and he saw God and he realized he had become like the one he had served. He had become like God. That's when he would truly be satisfied. And so he had a vision for something. I want to be satisfied. I'm only going to be satisfied if I become like him in this life. And so that's really the key here is that vision that we must have to live a life of satisfaction. Now, I realize David was looking at the end of that, but you know, God wants to give us a vision of, yes, the down the road, but even today, you know, vision is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We have to have that vision and that understanding. Lord, what do you want me to do today? What are you asking me to do? What are the practical things that you're calling me to do so that I can become like you? And that will keep us in the pathway of being satisfied for all eternity. You know, satisfaction is, we know, it's not just living in the here and now, but it can be a place of abiding, that we can abide satisfied. But to do that, we have to be faithful in doing the day-to-day things that God's called us to do. Right? If he's asking us to do something, maybe it's a time of a season of spending a little more time in prayer, or a season of just obeying him, and maybe he's speaking to about a small area in our life. And of course, sometimes we think, does that really matter? Well, if I don't fully do that, that's such a little area. But with God, he sees what's important and what's not, and he'll speak to us. And if we're faithful to do what he's called us to do, especially in the details, we need to be faithful in the details. Now, maybe we've heard this phrase, the devil is in the details. Right? That's familiar to us. Do you know why he is? Because if he can get us to disregard those little detailed commands that God gives to us, then we will lose our fruitfulness. We'll lose our satisfaction. We'll lose our joy, because being satisfied is focusing on the details of life that really matter. Now, there's a lot of other details in life that don't matter. If he can get us to focus on those things and neglect the things that really matter, then he's got us, right? But, you know, God has a plan and a purpose for us. And yes, there's this big goal down the road, but the question is, what do we need to do today to get there? What's he asking us to do? And, you know, it's hard to think of examples because we're each unique and he's speaking to us. We're in different seasons of our life, and maybe it could be more prayer. Maybe it could be focusing on his word, or, you know, focusing on one aspect of how we relate to people. You know, it could be anything, but the key is identifying, Lord, what are you speaking to me? What's the last thing he's spoken to us? And then we say, how am I focusing on that enough? Am I doing it? Am I being obedient to do what he's asked me and he's called me to do? Oh, it's so important. It brings us such release when we do what he's calling us to do, to be faithful in the details. God wants to give us a vision of where we're going and what we need to do to get there in our lives. Now, Lord, what do you want me to do right now? What are the practical things that I can do, that I can change and cry out to you for, so I can change my life to become more like you? And the Lord will show us. He'll speak to us. He'll open our eyes to see what really matters. Sometimes we can be so focused because we think something really matters when it really doesn't. You know, it's not as important because there's something else that God has in our lives and it really matters. And so, you know, I just want us to receive and meditate on this thought for the coming year. Because in this year, you know, as quick as that thought of satisfaction, God wants to increase our satisfaction. And maybe we've known it. We've known satisfaction in our walk with the Lord, but you know, it's something that can increase in our lives. It's something He's calling us to enter into, maybe a new level of fulfillment and satisfaction in our lives. Maybe other areas we didn't even realize that we need fulfillment in. And He wants us to walk in that way. He has a pathway for us that will be truly satisfying if we'll spend time in His presence, if we'll invest, if we'll set our heart to have right attitudes, right reactions, to be thankful, and to receive and walk in the vision that He's given to us, being faithful to the heavenly vision. That's what Paul said. He said, I've been faithful to the heavenly vision. He did those things day by day that the Lord directed him in. And, you know, in so doing, we will be satisfied, truly satisfied this year and in the years to come. And Father, we're just so grateful, Lord, that you're not just calling us to serve you and just to obey you and to be obedient in those things, but Lord, you're calling us to enter into satisfaction. Lord, that you care deeply about how we feel in our hearts and in our souls, that you want us to be fulfilled and satisfied. Lord, that's what it was said of Solomon. All of his servants were happy to serve him. They were satisfied. We know that is a type of what you want us to be happy and satisfied in the path that you have for us. Lord, we just cry out to you for grace today. Lord, that you would quicken us in this pathway. Lord, that in this coming year, Lord, in this year that we're in now, that Lord, we could enter into a new level of satisfaction and pleasure in serving our King. Lord, do those things in us. Teach us to spend time and to focus on your presence as never before. Oh God, and to have a right heart and right attitude. Oh God, to do those things that are pleasing to you. Give us even a fresh vision of how we can walk with you and be satisfied. And we thank you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.